Welcome to the Anti-Woke Podcast. Let's roll. Right-wingers online are trying to pull a Bud Light on Planet Fitness. So I think it was last week, an old white lady in Alaska went to work out at her Planet Fitness gym, and there was a man in the locker room shaving. And I heard about that. I thought he was shaving downstairs. No, he was just shaving his beard. And so the lady took a picture of it. She didn't take a picture, but she said that there was a, like a 12-year-old girl huddled in the corner going, "What the hell?" And so she went to the manager of the Planet Fitness, and she's like, "I don't think you should have men in the women's locker room." And he's like, "Well, our policy is that, you know, you can use whatever locker room you want if you sincerely identify as that gender." Which I guess it means you ask someone, "Are you sincere?" "Oh yeah, I'm sincere. I sincerely want to go into that room where 12-year-olds are naked." But anyways, the lady who complained, she got kicked out of Planet Fitness. And they terminated her account. So they're trying to do a boycott. I mean, the stock went down maybe 10% that day. It's come back in like the 5 days since. It's just the thing of the week. There was some other story where, I want to say like a Hispanic pedophile molested a 15-year-old in a Planet Fitness or something. And then when they went to kick him out or call the cops, he's like, "Oh, I'm a woman." I don't know. That one is not a big story. I caught like a headline of it. I don't really know. Probably not as bad as that makes it sound, because it doesn't seem to be gaining any traction. The crime this week was a young white man missing in Tennessee, I think. And then some white supremacists on the run in Idaho. And last week I talked about how Miami Beach, Florida was trying to not have a bunch of young black people go there for spring break and get violent. And that did work. But they just went to some other city, and I think one person got killed, a couple others got shot. And there was some videos of crowds of black people running this way and that way as gunshots are heard in the background. I mean, basically, it's spring break. This is America. We're not going to be stopped. That's what we do. But there's this white male college student who went missing. I think it was in Nashville. I didn't pay close attention, but like, they've been talking about it every night on the news. And there was video footage of him late at night. I think maybe he's real drunk or something. I think they found his body in the river, or maybe he's still missing, or maybe he's alive. I don't know. But what was weird is it's like missing white woman syndrome, except for it was a man. I think that was the reason why they cared. I mean, there's missing people all the time. I think you can even find kids and stuff. Maybe it was like they're missing and there was video footage. And then there was this, it wasn't Aryan Nation, but it was Aryan Knights, I think, yeah. So basically an Aryan Nation guy, except for the Idaho version, a podunk one. I think the cops had him at the hospital for some reason, and his buddy came in and shot three cops and they got out of there. The cops all lived. I don't know. Here's a clip from the nightly news and how the kind of person this escaped criminal is relates to people of color.
Oh, nearly 130 miles from the hospital where three officers were shot during the initial escape.
Station continuing had a driver who was the shooter.
Authorities say both men are members of the white supremacist gang Aryan Knights. According to the DOJ, the Aryan Knights was formed in the mid-1990s in the Idaho prison system. They often use initials AK to identify themselves, similar to the tattoos on Meade's stomach. The gang has also used violence to target inmates of color.
I mean, the fact that they did, basically a movie-type shootout to free him from prison is just really bold. And it means that they've been planning it for a while.
The big story in immigration this week on the nightly news was some video of migrants overrunning some Texas National Guard guys trying to stop them. It wasn't quite violent, but it was close to being violent. There's maybe five Texas National Guard guys kind of standing shoulder to shoulder, and the migrants were kind of pushing at him, and then maybe one of the guards fell down and the migrants all kind of ran through. But then they just ran up to a giant fence, which was, 50 feet away, and had to stop at that. So basically, Texas has put up two lines of razor wire, And then there's the real border fence. And if they can get to the real border fence, which used to keep them out, then they're safe because the federal border guards then let them in. And those border guards are overworked. So the new House bill, they set aside a bunch of money to hire new border guards to let them in. But I would say if you were a voter on the fence and you care about the border at all, you watch that video, you're like, this week, I'm leaning more towards Trump. And I went and watched Disney's ABC World News Tonight to see how they put it. And they couldn't pass up the chance to play the video. It's pretty good. And then at the end, they had a reporter go, and you know, this year we've deported 600,000 migrants, the most since 2012. And they didn't say, because we let in 5 million, the most ever. Anyway, so they just said, we deported the most, whatever. One of the most amounts deported ever. So that was kind of how they put the spin on it. Like, come on, people, this video is amazing. The border is crazy. But come on, vote for Biden anyways. So all that maybe could have been, but wasn't, a test of a new Texas law where Texas said Texas law enforcement can arrest illegal immigrants and deport them. And I think currently the federal court system has said you can't do it just yet. Like, this Texas law has gone up and down the federal court system a whole bunch in a short period of time, which is unusual, and it's taught me some stuff. So I think there's three layers of federal courts. You got your normal federal judge, you got your appeals court, and then you got your Supreme Court. And there's probably another layer or two in there that I don't know. But so I asked AI how many federal judges there are. So this may not be right, but it said 870. So there's way more state judges. I don't know how many. But being a federal judge, like the lowest federal judge, is you're really high up. I don't know if the judges are doled out by population, but if they are, I mean, you know, small states get maybe 7 judges and big states get, you know, 60 or something. So there really isn't that many of them. You make rulings for large areas. And I believe they're all lifetime appointment, just like they're kind of like little Supreme Court judges. And the president appoints them all. And then I don't think the president actually meets with and shakes the hand of every federal judge, but almost. And maybe they do meet with every one of them. If there's roughly 1,000 of them, then maybe 50 of them are replaced each year. So the president probably has time to meet with each one. And then there's about 10 appeals circuit courts. Texas is the 5th one. It's considered the conservative one. That one covers Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. And I think there's 12 judges on appeals court. It's roughly 10 anyways. But I think sometimes one appeals court judge will make a ruling of some sort. Sometimes 3 of them will get together and rule on something. And then sometimes, I don't know, 9 of them or all 12 of them or whatever will get together and make a ruling. And then above the appeals court is the Supreme Court. And it turns out each Supreme Court justice is kind of in charge of a circuit, or maybe more than one. But anyways, Judge Alito, if you ever heard of him, he's in charge of the 5th Circuit, so the Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi Circuit. And apparently sometimes just that one Supreme Court judge can make a ruling, whatever, as these court cases go up the ladder and back down and back up. And I'm telling you all this crap because it's something that I want to know. It's just for my benefit. So the Advisory Opinions podcast covered this. I'm not going to get this right, but it was something like the normal judge said no to the law. You can't do it. And so that was appealed. And the three judge version of the circuit court said, no, you can do the law. And then the full circuit court said, no, you can't. And that was appealed. And then the Alito, the single judge, said, no, you can't. And then the Supreme Court said, yes, you can. Okay, the yeses and nos are not right. But anyways, I think it got like 5 rulings or maybe even more. I think the Supreme Court sent it back down and then the circuit court said no. I don't know. They're not arresting anyone yet. And it's going to have to go up and down the court system at least a little bit more. And so no one thinks that Texas is going to be able to take over border enforcement. Sarah from Advisory Opinions, she said there's basically three things to the law. Number one, you can arrest illegal immigrants. Number two, you can ignore the fact that the illegal immigrant is probably in the asylum system or trying to get into the asylum system, which is federal. And number three, Texas can push them, you know, from one side of the border to the other side of the border and say, here you go, Mexico. And Sarah says, if the law had just said you can arrest illegal immigrants and throw them in jail or something like that, maybe they would have a case. But being able to overrule the asylum process or whatever, and Texas, you know, dealing with Mexico as if they're like equal countries and stuff like that, those things are not going to fly. And it seems like they're saying the whole thing will be struck down instead of the judges saying, oh, you can arrest them and throw them in jail, but you can't overrule the asylum thing and deal with Mexico. So we shall see. And maybe part of the plan is to increase the hoopla about it and get it so that the American public is like, oh, Texas is trying to enforce the border laws and the Biden administration is like taking Texas to court and not letting them do it. And you may have heard how Haiti, the island country near Florida, has gone to total crap. They got like cannibals down there or something. So people think there's going to be a whole bunch of Haitians heading to Florida, and Florida's gearing up to kick them back. So we may have Texas and Florida doing stuff that makes for crazy videos that you got to show on the news, kicking, you know, enforcing the border laws while the Biden administration tries to keep the borders open and the election is coming up. And Elon Musk tweeted out that I think there's 14 House of Representative reps in Congress basically representing illegal immigrants. Like you hear people say, oh, the Democrats are letting the immigrants in because they want to get their vote. But then other people be like, well, they're not citizens. They can't vote. And you're starting to hear Elon Musk and more people say both of those things are true. They can't vote, although their kids who are born here will be able to vote. But they are counted in the census, and that's how the number of representatives are like given to each state. And it's also how many votes each state gets for president. So, you know, where are immigrants going? I mean, famously, they're going to New York, Chicago, Southern California. So there, they up the number of people. They don't change who the voters are. So the voters, for instance, in Southern California, where they're super woke, they get to elect more reps because you get to count the illegal immigrants. But I think a lot of immigrants are just, you know, they get over the border into Texas. They're like, hey, everyone around me speaks Spanish. This is good enough, far enough. And everyone's moving to Florida, young, old, white, Hispanic, whatever. So it's also increasing the population of Texas and Florida, and maybe Republicans will be receiving those extra reps. And then Hispanics in general, they seem to be going from maybe 70-30 favoring Biden to 60-40, possibly heading towards 50-50 Trump-Biden. So basically, if Hispanics turn Republican, then that blows that whole thing up for the Democrats. Maybe the Democrats will be like, we need to close the damn border. These Republican voters are moving in. And then their kids are young, and young people vote for Democrats, but then also young people don't vote at all. My opinion, the jury is out on who it will actually help, but I think that Democrats do think it will help them, and so that is an incentive for them to keep the border open. And the opposite for Republicans. Like, there was this law a while back in Florida, I think the Democrats pushed it through, that said convicted felons, when they get out of prison, they can vote. They used to not be able to vote, and now they can vote. And people are like, who goes to prison? Oh, black men. What do black men vote for? Democrats. So, you know, all these black men are going to get out of prison and vote for the Democrats. But in fact, in Florida, it's like white trash and Hispanics who are going to prison. So when they get, you know, that's the kind of people that vote for Republicans, or at least Cuban Hispanics do. So I think Republicans fought that tooth and nail, but in fact it actually ends up helping them. Disney Plus came out with the new MCU cartoon, X-Men 97, and I watched a bit of it. If it sounds good to you, I'd say check it out. It's trying to be like the 90s show, like a Saturday morning cartoon from back in the day, or I guess for me, like G.I. Joe and He-Man, they were on after school. And I think if you went back and watched episodes of those shows, it would be, you know, it wouldn't be any good for an adult. And so X-Men 97 is, it's in between. It's better for an adult than those old shows, but I don't know if it's quite good enough. I don't know who it's for, if it's for kids or nostalgia or what. And it has woke stuff in it. And it's kind of, the question is like, you know, why do you put woke stuff into your cartoon or your movie? And sometimes it's to turn the kids gay. Or, you know, to make them vote Democrat or hate white people. And the show has all that stuff in it. But it kind of, sometimes it goes by so fast that that ain't going to make the kids hate white people. Or sometimes it's so subtle, it's like, that's not going to turn the kids gay. And a complaint against woke stuff is that a lot of times it's made by committee, you know, like, you bring in a black person to tell you you need more black people, and you bring in a queer to tell you you need more queers, and that ruins the artistic vision, and the script is no good. But this show is like, they have another person that they bring in who says, okay, you got your black person, now make it so quick that no one notices. You got your queer, but make it so subtle that no one notices. Or sorry, kids won't notice. Adults will see it. So then, you know, is it just to, maybe it's for Disney to say, anti-woke people, you haven't beaten us. While at the same time saying, oh my God, we're scared that if we make a woke thing, another woke thing is going to fail and it's going to look terrible. So, you know, how can we make something that isn't woke, but we can still say, anti-woke, you haven't beaten us? And some of it is just a signal to other employees around you at Disney that, you know, you hate Trump supporters, I hate Trump supporters. Let's put in a little hatred of Trump supporters. So the show is about the X-Men, which is a team of superheroes, and they get their powers because they're mutants. And then, like, the X-Men was created in maybe 1963 or 64, and it was a metaphor for the civil rights movement, where there's humans versus mutants, which humans are basically whites and mutants are basically blacks, and it's an anti-discrimination parable. So they're playing that up in this cartoon, and you got the good mutants X-Men, and then the bad guys are like, I don't know, they look like neo-Nazis, I guess. Like, maybe one will be dressed in a military outfit with, you know, a shaved head, and another one will be dressed kind of like a biker with a mullet. I guess it's not neo-Nazis. They look like racists. Just, you know, pick your various type of racists, stereotypes, and then that's kind of what they look like. Except that there's an army of them, so it's just, there's like the few that are front and center, and then each one of those is a stereotype, and then there's kind of the nameless, faceless army behind them. And so if you got mutants are the blacks and humans are the whites, well, that would mean that now you'd have black people mixed in with the humans. So there'd be like black whites. It'd be black racists. And so that's the first woke thing that I noticed that I'm sure most people won't, is that all the front and center bad guys are white. And then every once in a while, there'd be a black person mixed into a crowd shot of the bad guys. And then the X-Men, they have maybe two black people out of like seven or something. And so, like, the initial fight, it just happens in quotes to be the two black X-Men who come out to fight these white racists. Sorry, anti-mutants. I mean, it's just a thing in Hollywood where the villains can no longer be a person of color. Villains have to be white. And so it's like that, but it's even more. And they have a scene where the anti-mutants racists. I don't know. I don't know if it's the capital or I don't know. I don't know. I was kind of fast forwarding. I got tired of it, so I was fast forwarding. Anyways, at some point, they do something that looks like them storming the Capitol and attacking police officers, which I think to a kid would go completely over their head, but to an adult, you're like, I get it. And there's other stuff. I can't remember it all, but like one of the X-Men has wind powers. Her name is Storm. And so, you know, like she shows up and there's a bunch of wind. And then a poster goes flying, and it's just, you know, you can't see what's on the poster. It goes flying for one frame across the screen as everything is flying around. And so, but if you go back and pause it, it's a Benetton ad starring mutants. I guess they're Easter eggs. Yeah, so the show has a bunch of Easter eggs that most people won't notice, but it's like, you know, here's fuck Trump supporters Easter eggs. Here's fuck whites Easter egg. Here's a vote Biden Easter egg. I don't know, it's weird. And at some point, the X-Men are coming back to the big screen MCU, and there's talk that this cartoon is maybe creating a template or testing the waters for making the X-Men like that, being super woke progressive. We shall see. We'll see if this thing gets good ratings or not. If the MCU is even has all the same Kevin Feige in charge of it in a year or two. I mean, Disney is basically taking this year off. Well, or at least they've decreased their production. The Gamergate 2.0 saga continues. Recap. Gamers were saying that DEI was ruining their video games, and mainstream outlets were calling them racist. Well, Kotaku, the big gaming website, gaming news, the editor-in-chief resigned. She'd only been there 6 months, but whatever company owns Kotaku said, you know, lay off most of the staff and no more talking about politics. So supposedly they can only talk about games, and there's 7 employees. And basically this woke gaming news website is going away. I don't think it's going to last very long. They're supposed to talk about gaming walkthroughs? It wasn't that. I don't know. I'm not a gamer. But whatever it is, someone, the quartering on YouTube was saying, people don't go to websites for that anymore. They go to YouTube. You want a review of a game? You go to YouTube. You know, do you want to read about a game? Or do you want to watch video of the game itself while someone talks? And so one of my favorite podcasts is the 538 Politics Podcast. And 538.com was started by Nate Silver. I think in 2008, he called the election so accurately that he became a media darling, and his website did too. And it got bought by the New York Times, and then it was sold to ESPN, and then it became part of ABC News. And then, so there's the website, and there's the podcast. And I just listened to the podcast. And Nate Silver left the podcast maybe a year ago. And then he was interviewed in another podcast a couple weeks ago that I listened to. And basically, 538 has kind of gone away. So I'm noticing what they're doing a lot. You know, like, when you fire all the employees, then what you do is, when you go to that website name, you go to 538.com, for instance, now it takes you to abcnews.com. And 538 still has some employees. Basically, the people, like the 4 people who are the regulars on the podcast, they're writing articles as well. So 538, as it existed, kind of is no more. But it's still, you know, it still has some people who have been working there for years. And then, for instance, Sports Illustrated, everyone who worked there got fired. And there isn't a single person left who has worked there for a long time. But they're not getting rid of sports, you know, SI.com, Sports Illustrated. It's shortened to SI. So basically, the websites are still there, or they just redirect you to another website. You have to go by how many people lost their jobs. And the answer is tons of woke journalists. And it just happened to Kotaku. And we don't know if it happened because of this latest Gamergate 2.0 kerfluffle, or, I mean, they were going out of business anyways, or who knows. And the editor-in-chief resigned. I think she was like, if I can't try and, you know, get Biden elected by talking about how gamers are racist in a gaming website, then I don't want to work here. Let's talk about dumb black kids and Trump. Now, I'm not saying that black kids are dumb. I'm just talking about the dumb ones. And in fact, dumb kids of all races, genders, and non-binarinesses. So, the state I live in, Oregon, got rid of this test they had that you needed to pass to graduate from high school. They got rid of it in the name of equity. Basically, too many black kids were failing the test and not graduating. And I think too many dumb white kids were failing the test and not graduating. But no one cares about that. I mean, why the hell would you care about that? And the Economist podcast was talking about it this week. I guess New Jersey is doing something similar, getting rid of tests. I think all across the country they're getting rid of tests. But Oregon and New Jersey stand out. But the kicker is, North Carolina got rid of their tests like a year or two ago. And there's been enough time since to see what the result of that is. And the answer is, it made the dumb kids dumber. So basically, problem, too many black kids can't pass tests. Solution, make them dumber. Basically, black kids are eggs, and falsely believing that America's racist is the omelet. And relatedly, the New York Times put out an article this week saying that the benefits of locking down the schools during COVID were smaller than they thought they would be, and the damages caused by it were larger than they thought they would be, and more long-lasting. Like the kids in Oregon who missed their high school freshman year may just have to say whoopsie and get rid of any tests that were standing in their way. But until the New York Times says it, it isn't real. So now it's a real thing. The lockdowns damaged our children. You might think that's a better thing to say after the election. Or maybe get it out of the way now. The election's far enough in the future. The National Review podcast guys think that people don't want to talk about the pandemic anymore. They don't want to think about it or talk about it. And it's going to be a non-factor in the election. And evidence for that is that Ron DeSantis, who did everything right in the pandemic, did not get the Republican nomination. And I don't know, maybe. I think Trump had it in the bag either way, so you can't tell. I kind of think the pandemic is an albatross to tie around Joe Biden's neck. I think I'm using that saying correctly-ish. What's kind of funny is the media lies about Trump and they'll be like, oh, Trump said something racist. And then you go look at the transcript and he didn't. But back in the day, Trump was buddy-buddy with Fauci and his Operation Warp Speed created the vaccine. But basically, he's remembered as the end the lockdown, open up guy. And if he'd won that election, he would have ended the lockdown sooner than Biden, I think, and not tried to add to them in every way possible, like Biden pretty much seemed to do. I think they were trying to add something, like, you know, a year ago. I think they recently allowed Israelis to fly to America, removing some pandemic restrictions they have on certain countries. But it looks like the campaign ads and the messaging, this election is going to be, Trump will do the economy, wasn't it great when I was president, and the border, same thing. Remember when. And Biden's going with abortion and January 6th. And lately it seems less the abortion stuff, more the January 6th stuff. They were calling it threat to democracy. That was the keywords, the dog whistle for January 6th. I think now it's just like, just call it January 6th. And 2020 was a close election. I think it came down to roughly 50,000 votes in a few states. And it's the same two guys. So like, what has changed for them? I have this weird feeling that January 6th happened before the last election, but obviously it happened afterwards. So that's something that's going to make less people vote for Trump than they did last time. But there's also starting to be a nostalgia for the Trump presidency. I mentioned in another podcast that as time passes, people remember the good things in the past more vividly than the bad things. And every generation thinks that the decade when they were kids is when everything was wonderful and people were nice. And it's just a sliding window. It doesn't matter what's going on. Apparently, kids today are going to look back on the 2020s and be like, man, everyone was so nice back then. And for Biden, the votes that January 6th giveth, the border taketh away. Now, normally, the economy is what decides all. For as long as I can remember, when pollsters ask voters what's the most important issue to them, they always say the economy. I think right now the border is actually up there with it, which is unusual to have anything else getting there. You know, maybe the Iraq war at some point got up there, but it's usually just the economy. And for a little while, Biden campaign was like, Bidenomics. You think the economy's bad, but it's actually good. But they don't seem to be talking about that much anymore. I look, you know, some stats are, I was trying to look up credit card payments, and I couldn't find that specifically, but Americans, on average, are paying $300 more a month servicing their debt. They're paying a little under $1,300 in 2020, and now they're paying a little under $1,600 today. And that's mortgages, car payments, and credit cards. And maybe Trump's like, remember that pandemic and how I was the good president? Vote for me. And people are like, we don't care anymore. And Joe Biden is like, remember that pandemic? Well, all this economy stuff ain't my fault. Vote for me. And people are like, we don't care about that. That's not an excuse for that either. And while Biden has been president, America has created a ton of jobs, but they mostly went to immigrants. And I think for American citizens, the number of jobs is actually down 200,000, just a little bit. Basically, it's flat, but jobs were not created for citizens. You don't hear media people bring that up. They'll just be like, the GDP is through the roof, which means companies are making money hand over fist, while the working poor is getting fisted. And the media got caught lying about Trump this week. At a campaign rally, Trump was saying that if Joe Biden is reelected, it's going to be terrible for the automotive industry. There's going to be a bloodbath. It'll be so bad. And it was clear if you listen to the, you know, what he said. But the media was like, just grab that one word, bloodbath, and then write articles saying that there's going to be another January 6th. Trump's calling for it, and it's going to be a bloodbath, he says. And Trump is speaking off the cuff at campaign rallies for, you know, a couple hours all the time, says all sorts of stuff. And the Death of Journalism podcast said how the ball got rolling was there's some Democrat-leaning Twitter account that went and grabbed just the right little clip from that speech, put it on Twitter, it blew up, and then all the mainstream media just ran with basically what was in that clip. And, you know, did they not go find the larger clip? Or anyways, they just lied. They're like, this sounds good to me. Let's put it out there as if it's true. And then right-wing media was just full of people going, here's what Trump actually said. Here's what the media is saying. The media is a bunch of liars. Elon Musk tweeted out something that was a few headlines of people saying, Trump calls for a January 6th and there'll be a bloodbath. I think Rolling Stone, a few other big outlets, and then right next to it, like a one-minute clip of what Trump said, and it's very clear that's not what he meant. And the media pivoted, and it went from saying, Trump's calling for a January 6th-style bloodbath, to, well, Trump said there was going to be a bloodbath in the automotive industry, but you know Trump, he's actually calling for a January 6th-style bloodbath. NPR said something like, well, he wasn't specifically calling for a January 6th style bloodbath, but it's Trump's fault that the media said that because Trump's always saying, he's always calling for January 6th style bloodbaths, so the media saying it just this one time, who cares? It's Trump's fault. It's Trump's fault that the media lied. So I went and checked ABC World News Tonight and NBC Nightly News to see how they both framed it. And ABC is owned by Disney, so I assume that's why they're so woke. And then NBC is owned by Comcast, which they're not as woke. I mean, I wouldn't say anti-woke, but anyways, the ABC coverage of it was whatever. They just used it as an excuse to play a bunch of footage from January 6th of people, like, attacking cops. It was basically just a Biden campaign ad. And then NBC covered it fairly, so I don't know. Here's a clip of what Trump actually said.
Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it. Went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected... Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole... That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories. A friend of mine, all he...
Now, as I...
And then ABC News. They're just freaking out so much, it makes me laugh. I'm going to play you a clip. Like, my woke buddy would not be laughing about this clip, but for whatever reason, it just makes me laugh. Like, Trump's campaign rallies are basically stand-up routines, and now he's got the media retelling his jokes.
Paid tribute to the people who attacked the Capitol as, quote, unbelievable patriots. He posted multiple statements calling for Liz Cheney and other members of the January 6th committee to be prosecuted and sent to jail. In other words, David, Trump wants to pardon those who attacked the Capitol, and he wants to prosecute those who investigated his actions on January 6th.
I had one interaction on Spotify this week. Might have missed one too. But the question every time is, what's pissing you off this week? And Dan said, illegal aliens and Biden flying them in on my dime. Thanks for the comment, Dan. So Dan's talking about how Biden flew in 300,000 immigrants. I think in the past year. It's a pretty crazy fact. I don't know if it's getting through to the normies. I mean, just that one thing might change which way you vote. Of course, there's a lot of things like that. But word of mouth is the number one way that people learn about a podcast, so please tell your friends and family. Let's talk your boy Elon Musk. So last week, his company had IFT-3, Integrated Flight Test 3, and I had said that it could put a locomotive into orbit. And so I went and looked that up. A diesel locomotive weighs about 250 tons. And if this Starship rocket is used expendable, then it can lift 250 tons. I think that's like 100 cars. So that's pretty big. Now, expendable means you don't want to reuse the rocket, so it uses all its power it can to get up into space, and then it can't get back. And the plan for is it to be reusable and just put something into orbit, and then both halves of it come back and land nicely and reuse it. It makes it a lot cheaper, but when it's reusable, it can lift half as much. And I was saying that the future of naval warfare has just changed because in Ukraine they're putting Starlink satellite internet little dishes on jet skis and filling the jet skis with explosives. And this could be a game changer for when America goes to war with China over Taiwan. And I think America was trying to get China to attack Taiwan, but we've backed off on that, so we shall see. And I watched a breakdown of that possible war. And I think America could kind of hold its own in the air, but China was just going to demolish us on the sea. And it's because Taiwan, I think it's less than 100 miles off of China's coast. I mean, it's just right there. They might be able to see each other, you know, on a clear day. And America's got Air Force bases like all in every country around China. I think a fighter jet has to get refueled to get to Taiwan, but like only one time. And I assume that means make it back without running out of fuel and crashing. But the amount of ships that China can come up with, you know, in China versus us trying to do it 10,000 miles away. Anyways, they just have way more ships. And one of the things they have is they train their civilian ships to be a part of the Chinese army. Like maybe, I don't think it's once a month, but you know, maybe once a year or something, the fishing boats, etc., like go do a drill as if they're part of the army invading Taiwan. So I don't know if that's like fishing boats carrying soldiers or what they're good for. But when you add in all the civilian ships, it's just an overwhelming number of ships that China has. Plus they got their own, you know, military ships. But if we got 100,000 explosive filled jet skis hooked to the internet in the sky, that changes everything. But here's the thing. So you fight over Taiwan, you don't start sending nukes into New York and Beijing. Because that's that thing where, like, if the leader of a country is going to die, then they don't go to war. That's why leaders make sure that they're the ones who never die. And then you can go to war all you want. But so nukes are out. But would China explode all the satellites to stop these jet skis? And maybe this sends us back to the Stone Age a little bit. But, you know, it's General Xi, the guy in charge of China. He may decide that it's just better for him personally to destroy all the satellites. You know, you destroy one, it explodes into a million pieces, which goes and hits the next satellite, which goes into a million pieces, etc. But here's the thing. If each satellite can weigh as much as a diesel locomotive, you can maybe put enough armor on that thing to withstand all those space debris things. Or maybe a 250-ton satellite has enough wiggle room for giant solar panel arrays that power lasers that clear up the space debris around it. So bring it on, China. We'll both go back to the Stone Age, and then we'll see who can get back to space in the new space race first. Elon Musk's company Neuralink finally came out with a video of the quadriplegic that they had implanted their brain-computer interface chip thing. And the patient was a white guy. I think they said he was 49 years old. Kind of like a California surfer dude type who had had some sort of scuba diving accident that paralyzed him below the shoulders. He could talk. He could move his shoulders, kind of. Couldn't move his arms or his torso or his legs. And the surgery happened probably 2 or 3 months ago. And now he can control a mouse with his mind. And the device, I think it's basically like the guts of a cell phone with a bunch of little tiny wires that are connected to various parts of your brain. And then I think somehow you use AI and you train it. And he was saying kind of like being a superhero or something. He imagined the mouse moving and then whatever. Then eventually they got it so that the mouse did move where he imagined it moving. And the video showed him playing chess online. You know, it looked like he could move the mouse around. It looked like he could do it as good as a normal person could, but I think not really that good. Because they're like, you know, what have you been doing with it? He's like, I stayed up till 6 a.m. playing a game called Civilization VI. And I was like, I went straight to YouTube and was like, show me some clips of this game. And, you know, I was like, is this a first-person shooter? Like, where you're controlling someone super fast and, you know, running and jumping and shooting and flipping, or anyways, no, it was kind of like the game of Risk or something. It was like a map and you move armies around the map or something. But it also sounds like the thing is getting more easy to use or accurate or something as they keep working on it. All right, and so he stayed up so he's been playing this game Civilization. Because now he can play it in his bed. Because before he had to, like, I don't know, play it with a mouse that he controls with his tongue or his breath or something. And for that, he had to sit up. And then he has to live with his parents. And he has to be moved every so many hours so he doesn't get you know, doesn't wear away a spot on his body and give him bed sores or whatever he called it. And so he wasn't going to make his parents stay up late at night when he was playing a game, but now he could play it from his bed. But he said he was playing the game so long that it would wear down the battery. So that, you know, that's why I say I think it's like a cell phone. And so he'd play the game, and then he'd have to, like, charge his head for a bit, and then he could play the game some more. And Elon Musk's other big company, Tesla, came out with their pickup truck, the Cybertruck, a couple months ago, and finally, YouTubers are getting their hands on them. They cost over $100,000, but even more, they're just in short supply. And in my opinion, the Cybertruck is the coolest vehicle ever. It costs $100,000. That doesn't stop it from being cool. You just can't own one. And then the big complaint maybe is its range is only 250 miles, which isn't that bad for just driving the truck, but you have to cut that number in half if you're towing a heavy load. So every 125 miles, if you're towing your boat or whatever, you got to stop and charge up again. It is what it is. The price is going to come down probably pretty soon. And then it's going to be a longer wait for the range to increase. And it has four-wheel steering and acceleration that will make your hat fall off. But the thing that stands out about it the most is its looks. I mean, to me, and I think most people, it looks crazy cool. Some people think it's crazy ugly. And like these YouTubers who buy a Cybertruck, a lot of them have the same complaint, which is when you're on the freeway and you're in the right lane, then all the cars behind you go real fast to get up next to you and like take a picture of you with their cell phone or video. And they basically lock you into the right lane you can't get over. But here's the woke, anti-woke thing about this particular Tesla vehicle. So everywhere you go, you park and people just come up and take pictures and want to talk to you about it. Hopefully you're a people person. But apparently the kind of person who loves the Cybertruck the most is kids. And so the kids just come up and are excited and they want to, you know, touch the seats and touch the truck. And when these YouTubers are talking about it, I'm always listening. I'm like, is it boys or boys and girls? So, you know, that may be a woke thing. It may actually just be boys. They always say kids. They don't want to leave the girls out. Or maybe girls love it. But kids, they like the Cybertruck. It's associated with Elon Musk. Do kids start liking Elon Musk? He's associated with free speech. Bada bing, bada boom. Is this going to help raise a generation of kids that are more interested in the truth and speaking freely? I mean, it's a stretch. Or, you know, maybe it make kids more likely to go on Twitter, which they could use the users. Just something I wonder about. And then Elon Musk fired Don Lemon from Twitter this week. Now, he didn't ban him from Twitter like normal social media bans, but apparently Twitter has a special tier of monetization. And so on Twitter, they will show ads next to your tweets or maybe mixed in with your replies, and you can sign up to get a chunk of the percentage of the money from that. I don't exactly know. I don't know if anyone can sign up for that, or you have to have 1,000 or 1,000,000 followers. And I think they rolled that out like a year ago, roughly, and people were getting $5,000 a month. Like, this is amazing, because they only rolled it out to a few people. And then they rolled it out to virtually everyone. And so, you know, you got a much smaller piece of the pie, and now people get like a dollar a month. And, you know, that's not a person like you or me. To get a dollar a month, you have to be somewhat internet famous. But then there's this second tier that's better. That sounds like it was probably created for Tucker Carlson. And so if you put your videos on Twitter and they roll, I guess they have pre-roll ads, which I think is like a video ad before your video. And maybe they give you a bigger percentage of the money from the normal ads like other people get. And long story short, I think Tucker Carlson is making at least closer to real money. I think him and Mr. Beast are the only people I know of who have this super duper monetization thing at Twitter. But Twitter made a deal with Don Lemon for him to put his podcast on there and get this super tier. Don Lemon used to be a big dog at CNN. I think the two, you know, primetime guys were Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo. And now Chris, whatever. And they both have left CNN. And Chris Cuomo was talking to Tucker Carlson last week. And Don Lemon is trying to figure out what the hell to do to make money. I mean, he's a gay black man. I think that was why he had a job at CNN. And now it's like, you know, now he's in the wilds of the internet. Being a gay black man isn't going to get you that far, necessarily. Like the internet, when it's just people and not companies, that's pretty much a pure meritocracy. And so there's some articles and people talking about, you know, equity. It's not equity. But I think going into the future, we're going to hear a lot more about equity, inequity with the internet. And that's how people make their money. And there's no affirmative action. But so Twitter made this deal with Don Lemon. It was supposed to be kind of the left-wing version of Tucker Carlson. Elon Musk has this idea. He has said this before. He's like, he wants to have left-wing and right-wing people on Twitter. And so that was, Don Lemon was going to be the left-winger. And so they kind of had this deal. I guess it wasn't signed on the dotted line. And Don Lemon was like, well, hey, will Elon Musk let me do an interview of him for the first episode? And Elon agreed. And long story short, Elon didn't like his questions and he blew up the deal and fired him. So Don Lemon can just be a normal Twitter person, but just not one of these special monetization guys. And he was asking questions kind of like, so, how does it feel to be a racist? Like, answer yes or no. Have you stopped beating your wife? And there's clips on Twitter. I don't know. I think it made, well, to me, the clips made Elon look good and Don Lemon look like an idiot. Don Lemon went and did a round of interviews on every mainstream media outlet he could get his hands on, or let them get their grubby hands on him. So I think, depending on where you're getting your information from, that's who's at fault, or that's who's the idiot, or whatever. They're saying Elon doesn't support free speech. But, you know, free speech is not, you have to pay someone to speak, and if you don't pay them, then that's not free speech. Like I said, Don Lemon can, he still has his Twitter account. He can do whatever he wants, but just as a normal person. But I think a couple weeks ago, I was talking about how if you don't have an IQ over 90, then you can't understand hypothetical questions. And Elon Musk was talking about something hypothetically, and Don Lemon just couldn't grasp that. And they were talking about free speech, and Elon said that if it's illegal speech, then Twitter will take it down. But if it's legal, they'll leave it up. And Don Lemon's like, aha, but you take down child porn. And Elon Musk is like, yeah, that stuff is illegal. And the concept of illegal versus legal speech versus just censoring whatever the hell you want, just another thing that Don Lemon does not understand. Oh, and I think the hypothetical was about DEI, and if your surgeon is chosen based on their race and not their abilities, and if your surgeon fails all the tests that, you know, make you a surgeon, but they're passed anyways, you know, that could lead to some bad outcomes. And he's like, well, that hasn't happened in the past. And Don Lemon's like, haven't you heard of slavery? I mean, that wasn't his exact words, but that's kind of a running joke on this podcast, is like, haven't you heard of slavery? As a comeback to anything. Boom, I win the argument. Haven't you heard of slavery? And Elon Musk, he talked a bit about, you know, man's inhumanity to man. And then he's like, you know, all of us, our ancestors were slaves. It's just a difference of how long ago it was. And that concept seemed to mystify Don Lemon too. It was kind of the same reaction that Chris Cuomo gave to Tucker Carlson when Tucker was like, I learned in America, we do not discriminate against people because of their skin color. Full stop. Chris Cuomo was like, you know, his expression was like, but what if they're white? Oh, this is making my head hurt. A couple of science stories that they talked about on All In Podcast. The first kidney grown in a pig was implanted into a, I think, 64-year-old man. and it's a genetically modified pig and organ. Usually these experimental organ transplants, the receiver ends up dying pretty quick. But it seems like people think this one is better than a lot of those previous ones. And then it looks like the universe is expanding at different rates in different places, which is not what astrophysicists thought was going to be the answer. So the universe is expanding, but it doesn't mean that it's all just going away from the Earth and the Earth is at the center. The way to describe it is a cake with raisins in it. Like as you bake it and it puffs up, every raisin gets farther away from every other raisin. And that's the galaxies. And the old satellite telescope, space telescope, was the Hubble. Probably heard of that. And we got a new one called the James Webb. And so the Hubble was saying that different parts of the universe are expanding at different rates. And they're like, oh, well, this is just an old, crappy satellite telescope. Let's check it with the brand new James Webb one. And anyways, it came back with the same results. And it doesn't mean much now, but the thing about these weird physics things that we can't figure out, when we finally figure them out, maybe it will turn out to be something amazing. Like, you always thought time travel was impossible, but because of dark energy, which is what we call the expanding of the universe, it's a different, you know, there's a twist on dark energy, and you can use it to do time travel or faster than light space flight, or who knows, free energy. Probably not, but it just keeps the door open when you don't quite understand how stuff works. Ukraine had a free and fair election, and Zelensky won in a landslide. Oh wait, that was Russia and Putin, and Ukraine has canceled all elections for the foreseeable future. Just kidding. I mean, possibly on the free and fair part. The mainstream media said elections in Russia is a threat to democracy. So now I don't know what to think. Usually when the mainstream media talks about threats to democracy, it's the opposite of everything they say after those words. But I guess the media was complaining about how Navalny, who is the possible number one critic of Putin in Russia, died in prison recently. And then Tucker Carlson was saying he thinks the guy wasn't murdered by Putin because, looking at the timing, that's just not when Putin would do it. I don't really know. I don't really care. I think if elections in Russia start mattering to me, then I will care. I don't think that they have mattered or that this one mattered. Back to criticizing Biden. Well, the Russian guys on the Russians with Attitude podcast were talking about it. One guy said, Putin's going to win anyways. He doesn't need my support, so he didn't vote. And the other guy complained that you don't get to vote for your city's mayor. Apparently, whatever Russian city he lives in, the previous mayor had the place looking good, and the new mayor sucks. And finally, they say the way to think about Russian elections, you don't get to choose who your leaders are, but it's your leaders using it as an opinion poll to see if they should maybe adjust what they're doing a little bit. We're still waiting to see if TikTok is going to get banned, but people keep saying that, you know, this young generation is getting their news from TikTok, not from the mainstream media. So I went to TikTok and I just typed in news to see what's going on. And it was just a bunch of TikTok-style videos from the mainstream media. And so I think they're doing the same thing that YouTube does. YouTube has this system, I don't know when they started it, maybe 2019, plus or minus, but it's this thing called trusted sources. And so basically Google employees designate certain topics, and then they designate certain outlets. And so the outlets are just mainstream media outlets, and they call them trusted sources. And then the topics that they designate, that's just whatever is the latest thing, you know, or the border, you know. Forever going forward, the border is something that YouTube will only give you hits for from trusted sources. Basically, it's hand-curated. Anything that's remotely political, you only get hits from mainstream media. And maybe they go find some left-wing YouTubers who cover the news to throw in there, and, you know, maybe who you're subscribed to a bit. But basically, YouTube, there used to be a time, like 10 years ago or more, where you could start up a YouTube channel and talk politics, and be the number one hit on whatever subject you were talking about that day. Anyways, they put a stop to that. And I don't know if that's how TikTok used to be, but that ain't happening on TikTok anymore either. Well, I did swipe through TikTok trying to find something that wasn't mainstream. There was some stuff in Spanish. It was probably Spanish language mainstream media. And then there was a lesbian who was talking about Russia, and whatever. She was all right. Basically, she did not put forward any, you know, the narrative mainstream lies. Just facts. Maybe TikTok designated her as special because she's a lesbian. A lesbian would never say anything that would get Trump elected. But she was talking about there's this terrorist attack in a 7,000 seat theater in Russia this week. And ISIS, one of the ISISs, apparently, you know, Muslim terrorists claimed that they did it. And she's like, well, sometimes ISIS claims all sorts of things, including things that they didn't do. Because I saw some headline that was like, CIA plot to blow up a Russian theater. So who knows? A couple of weeks ago, we learned that the CIA has 16 bases in Ukraine all along the border with Russia. And they've had those bases for, I think, since 2014. And then the Non-Zero podcast had the Russians with Attitude guys on there. And they were talking about how the Russian people, they don't really notice the wars going on. Remember the Iraq war, how you would go about your daily life and the Iraq war had zero effect on it other than it was on the news or something? Apparently that's how the Ukraine war is for people in Russia, or at least the Russian people. Russia's got like Muslims and stuff. Who knows what's going on in the Muslim part of Russia? Maybe they're getting ready to bomb a theater. But some Russians who kind of get support from Ukraine attack some Russian cities along the border, and Ukraine maybe sent some bombs into some oil fields in the past, I don't know, few weeks. And so the Russian people, who normally don't think about it, aren't confronted with Ukraine war, don't care, are starting to get pissed off at Ukraine. Like, you'd say it's not fair. Oh, Russia invades Ukraine, and then Russia gets butt hurt when Ukraine invades like one country or one village worth back. But anyways, you know, fair don't matter. But basically, support for Russia kicking Ukraine's ass is only currently going up, and it's kind of stuff that Ukraine is doing. I mean, whatever. It's totally legitimate for Ukraine to do those things, but it may be shooting themselves in the foot also. The Russians with Attitude, their theory is when something bad happens on the... Well, basically, Ukraine is doing it to gin up support in Ukraine. So, attacking Russian villages is making the Ukraine side of the war more popular in Ukraine, and it's making the Russian side of the war more popular in Russia. And Willie Ohm on YouTube was saying that Ukraine is getting closer to having their F-16s that America's given them. And he was saying that basically F-16s is not what Ukraine needs at all. The way it works is the Air Force gives old, dried up, you know, puff of dust coming out of it, gonna need some lube F-16s to Ukraine, and then the money that Congress put forward just buys new F-16s for the Air Force. But apparently America tells Ukraine, here's some F-16s, you know, you gotta spend a lot of time and training of men to take care of the things. The ground crew for every airplane is huge. And then finally, you cannot attack Russia with them. You know, you can use them within Ukraine, but you can't take them and go attack Russia, which is what they would be perfect for. Within Ukraine may not be useful at all, barely. I don't know how many they got. Let's say they got five of them. You know, if you just sent five of those straight at Moscow, they could probably blow up the Kremlin. You know, one of them would get through, you know, it'd be like a suicide mission. One of them would get through and take out Putin and all the top Russians. Anyways, America says, you can't do that. You know, Ukraine could do it anyways, probably won't. You know, the money would be better spent on artillery shells, except, well, we can't make any more. We're making them as fast as we can, so whatever. It's just a taxpayer transfer to the military industrial base complex. Update on the terrorist attack in Russia. 130 people dead. I think a lot of them died in the fire. They came in with guns and then threw Molotov cocktails in this giant, giant theater building, which had, there's a lot of video of just crazy flames coming out the roof. And then apparently America had told Russia that Muslim terrorists were going to storm a theater in Russia in the next month or something. And then America and Ukraine are saying, hey, it's just the Muzzies. And Russia's like, Ukraine isn't behind it. And so, you know, I don't know. Doesn't seem like a America-Ukraine thing to do. But on the other hand, they did the Nord Stream pipeline and basically said it wasn't them. And then we later learned out it was them. And they caught the guys alive. And they're Tajiks, which is people from Tajikistan, which is basically, I mean, you know all those stands. Anyways, it's a stand that's right next to Afghanistan. They're basically like Afghanistan people. And I think people in that part of the world, they don't like America, they don't like Russia, they don't like anyone. So it could just be them. I was watching ABC News, and they were talking about Russia blaming Ukraine, and they said the phrase, without evidence, which... That's the code words they use for Joe Biden and Hunter Biden are guilty as hell, but we got to, you know, but we got to control the narrative. So we throw in the words without it. Normally when they say without evidence, those two words put together like that, it means it's true, but it can't always be that way, can it? But it's funny because the other stuff I was saying about Ukraine, I recorded that before this terrorist attack, and it was talking about how the Russian people were getting pissed off, making them support the war more. So, you know, this may do the same. I think in Russia, they got their own narrative that the media is pushing. They don't, you know, our narrative, the narrative we're hearing from ABC News don't matter over there. And, you know, if Trump wins, then maybe that helps, right? He forces a, whatever, Ukraine to give over some land for peace. But, you know, it's 50-50 that Biden wins. So Russia may want to try and get this thing over in case Biden wins, because then you got some guy going 4 years trying to extend it, at least for those 4 years. So maybe Russia is going to try to use this for some escalation. I guess basically some people died, so that means some more people are going to die. And then what's going on with Israel? America went to the UN and called for a, I think, permanent ceasefire as soon as the hostages are returned. And Russia and China struck that down. I think maybe Russia put forward basically the same proposal like a month ago and America struck it down. America and Russia are like striking stuff down just to annoy the other. And last week, the Biden administration had Chuck Schumer, the top Jewish senator guy, call for regime change in Israel to get rid of Netanyahu. And I was thinking, I think Netanyahu may end up doing regime change to Joe Biden. That may be the direction that works. I think if Netanyahu is no longer prime minister over there, like, he may go to jail. All sorts of bad stuff may happen to him, besides losing a bunch of power, which you never want to have happen. So, you know, he's going to hang on, I think, as long as possible. And I think the current agreement over there is he can stay as long as the war continues. Yeah, so maybe it's, you can stay as prime minister and have total power as long as the war continues, and you get to decide when it ends, and when you decide that it ends, we're going to throw you in jail. And if that's the incentives, then obviously it just goes on forever. You know, until the, who knows, maybe he's like, well, if Trump is in there, that'll help keep me out of jail. So keep it going until then. And Hamas does not want to release the hostages. If they do that, it's kind of, that makes Israel look good. Like, oh, so that's what you do. You just pound Gaza until they release the hostages. If that's the precedent, you know, that's the kind of precedent that Israel would like to set, actually. That's something that they can do, that they can control. It's not out of their hands. It gives them something to do, constructive, and a justification for what they're doing. It makes them look like the good guys. So maybe America is like, they're never going to release the hostages, so we're going to call for a ceasefire until they do something they're never going to do. So we're not calling for a ceasefire, but this will make the Muslim voters in Michigan vote for Joe Biden. basically, for various reasons, it's looking like the Biden administration is getting tired of the war. And like, there's one last city, Rafah. It's in the south on the border with Egypt, where if Israel goes in and whatever, does their thing, the thing that they think destroys Hamas, then that will be, they've done it to all of Gaza. So there's just one last part of Gaza they haven't done it to. That's Rafah. And no one knows why they're holding off. I mean, can they wait 6 months and do an October surprise for our election? And you used to hear about the death toll in Gaza. I think it's slowed down. So, I don't know. Anyway, you don't hear about that much anymore. I think it's at 30,000. And if you go look at previous Israel-Palestinian conflicts, it's usually, it's somewhere in the 10-to-1 to 100-to-1 range. And maybe 1,500 Israelis are dead. So right now we're at 20-to-1. So 20-to-1, that's right in that 10-to-1, 100-to-1 range. So I'm going to make this up, but there is some sort of calculus like this where it's like, oh, if you do 10-to-1, then the Palestinians don't attack you for 3 years. And if you do 100-to-1, then the Palestinians don't attack you for 15 years. So how long do you want to be left alone? We'll leave you alone for 20 years if you kill 100,000 of us. Well, we don't want to do it, but if you insist, okay. Well, that's the end of the podcast. Links in the description, and thanks for listening.